Hello, and welcome to Viewpoints, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. This week on Viewpoints, we'll be talking about social media, why you might want to learn more about it, and possibly even use it. We'll be talking with Victor Saran and Jennison Asuncion, who are real advocates of using social media for various means.
We'll be talking about the benefits of using Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Heytel, or others, depending on the situation. And next week, we'll talk with Jonathan Mosen about how a visually impaired person can use these tools. But first, to our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Victor Tsaran.
Honestly speaking, I think learning about the social media tools for a contemporary person is just as important as knowing how to use Microsoft Word or any other word processing application. And the reason I'm saying that is because it is increasingly becoming an inseparable part of our lives. Unfortunately, especially among blind community, people just tend to shy away from complexity. But soon we won't have an option of doing that because everything is on social media. You can't really step out of your house or anything without somehow confronting with social media. And it is going to become increasingly important if we want to reach that equality that everybody's talking about. To be equal members of society means basically taking the same burdens that society has to with regard to social media. And so learning the tools, picking up the right tool that's for you, I mean, it probably could be a separate podcast on tools because there's many of them out there, but it is very important.
You know, there's always something new out there that people are telling you ought to get involved with or ought to learn. And this is just another one of those things that people say, well, you know, I've gotten along so many years without it. Why should I need to do any of it now? Well, as Victor says, more and more people are getting involved in social media these days, and sometimes it's hard to avoid. Or if you want to be involved in the discussions and interact with other people, at some point you'll just have to join in.
And as he said, there could be a whole nother show on the tools. Well, that's next week. So if we haven't motivated you yet, just keep listening, and by the end of this show, you'll be eager to find out how to do it next week. Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll meet Victor and Jennison. Can you introduce yourselves, please?
So I'm Victor Tsaran, currently working at Yahoo as the accessibility program manager, but on the sidelines, I'm also pretty active in the blindness community and accessibility community, as well as I'm a musician and social media. I wouldn't say I'm a social media freak, but I certainly love social media to the point where it gets sometimes annoying, but it hasn't annoyed me too much so far. So that's myself.
And Jennison?
My name is Jennison Asuncion, and I'm here in Toronto, and I work in accessibility for one of Canada's big banks. And if Victor is not a social media freak, then I guess I am I'll call myself an active social media person. I use Twitter and LinkedIn professionally. I use Facebook for personal transactions with friends. And I've checked out some of the other social media platforms, which you can get into later. But I've found social media, both professionally and personally, a rewarding experience. And I think it transcends the fact that I have a visual impairment, but it certainly doesn't hurt in terms of how I've been able to use social media.
Can you both describe what your visual impairments are and what caused them?
Sure, I'll start. I lost my vision when I was about a year and a half old. And that was due to optic atrophy and allergic reaction I had to anesthetic when I was very young.
Are you a programmer yourself, Jennison?
No, I consult with designers and developers of websites in my role. I work with them directly to help them make their websites and applications accessible.
So your specialty is web accessibility then?
For folks with disabilities in general, yep.
I can't see at all. It's a result of glaucoma.
And you are a programmer, Vic.
Yeah, I'm a programmer. Stick my fingers into, you know, all kinds of programming environments.
So I know how Vic and I met through the MIDI mag list for musicians and working on some of the JSONAR scripts for Sonar and stuff. But how did you guys meet?
How did we meet, Victor?
Actually, that's a great question.
Honestly, I think it could in fact have been through social media.
Quite possible.
Through Twitter.
Yeah, I think it may have been Twitter, because Jennison is fairly active Twitter user as I am. I think, in fact, Twitter is my primary social media outlet. And I think that's where we met. And actually, I think we met in real life quite later, maybe even a year or two later.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing about social media, is you can end up making these virtual friendships and such.
And that sounds like one of the big uses of social media, just so people can interact and meet people.
You are listening to Viewpoint.
This week's focus topic is what social media is and why it's particularly good for people with visual impairments. As you can tell, Victor and Jennison are both big advocates of using social media, and they each use it quite a bit. So rather than having us describe social media, we're going to let Victor do it.
Essentially, when we talk about social media, we're really talking about any tools and the websites that help people share information. And because the information being shared via media, usually internet, and because it's being shared socially, this is why we call it social media. There are multiple ways of how people share the information. The very early ways people used to do it is via blogs. So somebody would post a blog on their website, and then other people will join in conversation by commenting on that blog. Then people figure out, well, you know, the problem with blogs that I had to go to that person's website. And that kind of didn't really cut it, because after a while you had to go to 50 of your favorite blogs, and then the next thing you know, you'd be spending 12 hours just going from one blog to another. And the problem was that if you went to that blog and you put a comment, your friends may not be able to see that comment. So eventually, while that was a great thing initially, people figured out it wasn't really working in terms of spreading information, sharing information. So then things like social networks came in. And the social network is essentially similar to the physical network. Just like you have your friends in real life that you can call anytime you want, you can meet up with them for coffee or whatever, you can exchange information. Those things have been replicated online by companies such as Facebook, Twitter. And essentially, they're the platforms, or they're the websites, or they're whatever you want to call them, environments where you can go in and you can listen to what other people say, you can make a comment, and depending on a specific network, you can either decide, okay, I want the whole world see what I just said, or I want just my friends see what I said. Facebook lets people be a bit more private. If you just want to share your ideas or your pictures or your comments with just your friends or with just your family, you could do that. You could actually go in and say, I just want my friends see that stuff that I just said. If you go on something like Twitter, anything you say is seen by the whole world. There are ways to exchange what they call direct messages, but for the most part, people use Twitter as a way to scream, to shout to the whole world.
Victor talked about blogs. For anybody who isn't familiar with that, that's shorthand for web log, but they're commonly called blogs. And it's almost like a diary, but that you put out on the net, and then anybody who has the web address for that can read it, and in addition, people can make comments on it. Although it's frequently used for personal diary kind of things, it's also used in the news media and many, many other non-personal topics.
Well, people can use it for sharing information, and we've seen that on numerous blogs where people have a particular topic or interest of theirs, and they write blogs to share what they know with others, and it's another way for people to communicate.
And as powerful and useful as blogs are, there are actually these newer tools which are used more for a conversation. And it's not just a two-way conversation. It can be a multi-way conversation with lots of people chiming in, and everybody's able to see what each other has to say and what everybody has to add to the picture. Jennison, what specific benefits do you think social media has for the visually impaired?
If you're blind, like Victor and I are, you know, going to a big event and kind of meeting people, that's a fairly visual thing. You know, you make eye contact with people, you smile, you wave, people come over that way.
Plus, it requires the mobility to be able to move around different rooms and a hall.
Yeah. So social media provides a way of kind of bridging that gap, if you will, for lack of a better term. Even at conferences, people can meet each other that way virtually and then say, okay, well, you know, I'm blind, I'd like to say hello, I'm over here, or things like that. That's one way of doing it. It is one of those equalizers, I find anyway, that social media does provide.
One of the issues I hear raised about social media is that you can really get burdened from information overload. Can you talk a little bit about that and how you deal with that?
Oh, I don't know if I deal with it well, but it is true. You could totally get bogged down depending on how many people you follow and whether your Twitter client has the possibility of filtering tweets for you. That is definitely an issue. And I hear it from a lot of blind folks who are not that technical. I will say, and this might be controversial, but I'd say on Twitter, the balance of the blind folk that are on there are fairly technical. And so they're using Twitter clients that have the ability to mute or to filter out certain topics that they don't want to hear about. But then the average person might not know how to use those features. So they're getting all kinds of things, some stuff that they're interested in, some stuff they're not. So that's one of the dangers with Twitter. How I deal with it, I probably spend more time than I should on there and just filter myself. Like, I'll know whose tweets I might find more interesting on a given topic. So I might create what's called a list. And in that list, I will add the people I'm following on that particular topic. Like, say, for example, London 2012. Well, there's the hashtag, but then that might have tons of traffic. If I know that there's 5 or 6 users who are tweeting good content on that, I'll just add their names to a Twitter list. And let's say I'll just call it, again, London 2012 as my Twitter list. And I'll just monitor that. And I'll just get the tweets from those 5 or 6 users who are tweeting about the Paralympic. To get back to your original question, that's one way that I will filter or kind of get some level of control. Otherwise, I'm following right now 740 some odd people.
That'll do it.
I have to tell you, though, some tweet more than others, right? And sometimes, you know, it's not the people who tweet most who you necessarily always want to hear from. There might be someone who tweets this one golden nugget tweet, but then they're trapped within these hundreds of other tweets. So you need to create lists and do things like that to kind of make sure you're not missing anyone.
Like anything else new, there's always an investment needed to learn about some new technology or new method of interacting. And you just have to put in a little bit of time. Fortunately, the web is a great place for coming up with lots of little tidbits and helpful hints about how to get started and how to learn more about the features of some of these ways of doing things.
Victor had some thoughts about other applications for using social media effectively.
Right now with social media, you finally can apply a bit of granularity as to who sees your information and who you want to share your information with. We talked about CSUN before in one of the previous podcasts. One of the tools that blind people use at CSUN is this thing called Heytel. And the Heytel is an iPhone application that lets you communicate in the walkie-talkie mode, which is you can add people to your contact list and you can push and talk to them. And you could say, hey, I'm there at the top of the stairs. Where are you? Can we just find each other? Or you can set up what they call a public relay service where everybody who's at CSUN, they could limit only people in that particular geolocation. In that instance, it was the convention center where CSUN took place. And so the developers of Heytel application restricted so that only people within that location could actually communicate with each other.
So as you say, that can be particularly useful for the blind, where the geography inside a large conference building can be somewhat of an issue in terms of hooking up with other people and just even knowing who's in a room.
It's really when they've introduced it was like suddenly people could actually say, hey, I'm in that conference session. Who else is going? And then suddenly 5 other people responded, oh, that's really interesting. Where is it? And you have communication going. And because of the geolocation capabilities, you can make these bubbles as large as you want or as tiny as you want.
Victor mentioned that we had interviewed him previously about the CSUN conference. That was in shows number 1211 and 1212, where we talked with Victor and other attendees of the conference. And for anyone who's not familiar with this conference that's affectionately called CSUN, this was the 27th Annual International Technology and Persons with Disabilities Conference. And it was organized by the Center on Disabilities at California State University at Northridge. And it gets the CSUN name from the California State University at Northridge. Getting back to our conversation with Victor and Jennison about the benefits of using social media, well, there are other ones.
One of the things that I think is particularly interesting for us as blind folks on Twitter, and I'll use that as my example because I use that a fair bit, is that one can communicate with other folks without the disability becoming the focal point, if you kind of know what I mean. So if you're standing in a room and you're talking to someone who can see and you have a guide dog or a white cane, they can see you're blind. And sometimes, you know, the way it goes, the focus becomes that, or that just becomes a distraction. Whereas you could carry on a conversation with folks through social media for as long as you want without necessarily revealing that you have a visual impairment, if that's something that you don't want to do, and just kind of talk on par with people. And then when you kind of introduce the topic, it's like, oh, you're blind or whatnot, or you introduce yourself as someone who is blind. That to me is kind of an equalizer and an interesting thing that social media provides. And certainly ham radio would have and continues to provide that type of ability as well.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. You talk about the blindness being a distraction. I know when I was applying for jobs out of graduate school, I mean, my resume would never say anything about being blind, just what my credentials were. And the first time people would know I was blind is when we set up an interview after some phone conversations, and they say, well, how will I know you in the airport? And I'd say, I'm the guy with the white cane. What white cane?
Right.
But, you know, you got past all the other distractions, as you said.
Yep.
So he mentioned ham radio. We talked about that in show number 1231. And that was really, when you think about it, an early form of social media. People from all over the world could get onto their amateur radios and interact, and more than two people could participate in any one conversation. We've been talking about using social media for social interactions. Well, apparently they're useful for professional interactions as well.
Your original question that you folks wanted to ask is, so convince us why we should be using social media. For better or for worse, if you're looking for a job, one of the most powerful professional networking tools is called LinkedIn. Now, from an accessibility perspective, it's not where it needs to be. They're working on it piece by piece. But LinkedIn is one of these tools that has taken off and has become a really trusted source for recruiters and for other people who are trying to find professional information on folks. And what that is it's essentially it's your professional resume. And you have on there your jobs. They've really changed it up and added stuff. But so you have your professional summary, you have your specialties, you can add skills, but also your professional experiences where you've worked. And but you can also join professional groups, et cetera, et cetera. So Victor brought up the point that you can't really avoid social media. There's this joke that people say, you know, oh, I'm going to go meet someone for the first time. I'm going to go Google them. One of the first things typically comes up is your LinkedIn profile, if you have one. So that's an example of where social media, it's one of these things where if it matters to you that you want to be seen by recruiters or by people, depending on what field you're in, that's one of the more professional ones. And I say professional, and I've been saying that because there's different types of social media, in my mind anyway. You know, you've got your social networks like the Facebook, where you're sharing recipes with your friends, you're sharing pictures, some of them you wouldn't necessarily want to share with recruiters, but you're sharing photos with friends or family members. You've got Twitter. They're all sort of very different purposes in my head, and I'm very careful what I post where. But LinkedIn, to me, is a prime example of a power of social media, because that's how one way people can find you, and one never knows. You could get contacted because someone saw your LinkedIn profile, or in fact, someone may have seen a tweet of yours, and then they go Google you, and Hey, that person has a LinkedIn profile.
And I'm sure people have heard lots of stories these days how when you are looking for a job, after they interview you, I mean, they'll often look for your web presence any place they can. So if you have something like LinkedIn, which is a little bit more professionally oriented, that can be to your credit. But also they'll find your other presence if you have a Facebook entry or if you tweet a lot, and they'll know something about some of your outside activities too.
And that can be a good thing or a bad thing, depending on what you've got and what they're interested in. So we've been talking about how social media can benefit the individual using it. Well, Victor and Jennison brought up another very interesting application of social media.
Another important factor about social media is the fact that specifically blind people and or people with disabilities can use this as an advocacy channel. it is not uncommon for people to reach out directly to developers of specific applications or to companies who, for example, having released a new version of their product, somehow neglected the accessibility features. Because of the blind people who spoke out and reached out to those companies, the things have been fixed. But it has been shown in the last couple of years that actually this could be used as a really, really powerful channel. For one, to make people aware that we exist. Two, that there's such an accessibility. And three, just establish an ongoing relationship with manufacturers of products or developers of different applications.
So give me a specific example of how that might work.
There is this product called Navigon. And that iPhone app became pretty popular among blind people because in addition to giving you voice prompts when you drive, you could also set it to give you voice prompts when you walk. And the application was reasonably accessible to the point where blind people actually thought it was worthwhile paying $50 or $40 to get this application on your iPhone and use it for your everyday needs. Well, the version 2, I think, came out, so the new redesign interface was totally inaccessible. And that, of course, angered a lot of people. And one of the activists on Twitter, Kevin Chow, I think, started this whole campaign reaching out to Navigon and saying, hey, guys, there's a lot of customers who like your application, rely on it for every day. We need this fixed as soon as possible. And surprise, surprise, it took them about a week or two, but they've quickly released an update to their application and they've reverted to all features. And it was really amazing.
Victor, just to add to that, because I think I remember this, what happened with, and this is the power of social media, is that Kevin sent that tweet out. And then people who follow Kevin did what's called a retweet. So Kevin may have, say, 1,000 people following him or whatever number. And then other people have their own followers who might not be following Kevin, but they retweeted or sent the same tweet out to their followers. And so you sometimes hear that phrase, you know, something's gone viral. That's an example of where this got so much airplay and it ended up going to people who might not have really thought about accessibility before, but because they might have been following, you know, person X who ended up retweeting the original tweet, it just went everywhere.
And as Victor and Jennison pointed out, before social media, if people had some kind of issue with accessibility or something they wanted to write to a software developer about, it was just that single person that the software developers heard from. So they didn't hear from the entire community and how it was affecting the larger group of people and how many other people were interested in that. But with the social media tools, this can immediately become a bigger issue and you're much more likely to catch the attention of the software developers in rectifying the problem.
Now for this week's high-tech item. We've been talking about how useful social media can be. Well, here's some advice on prudent usage of social media.
I would encourage you, though, if you are going to go on social media, to be careful, because particularly with Twitter and with LinkedIn, what you put out there, it's out there. Take care, as you would in any context, right? Because some of this stuff, it stays up there. And if you're looking for a job one day, you don't necessarily want a blog post or a tweet where you're bashing a company that you're actually ending up trying to apply for a job for.
And there are some fairly well-known examples of that. You can imagine lots and lots of situations where you've said something or you've shown photographs, and once it's on the web, it stays on the web, and anybody who's at all savvy can find it. But if you have something worthwhile saying or worthwhile sharing, then there's no reason not to put it out there. And it's amazing how much you can learn and just how much enjoyment you can get from all of these interactions.
But as the labels say on many products, use with care.
So here are some final words from Victor and Jennison.
Get on it. Start out very small. And then, you know, if you need any help, you can use social media for asking for the help. It's a tool in itself where you can ask people. But I would say if you're hesitating, first of all, decide what you want to do. Unless you don't think you need social media, but if you're looking for a job, if you want to be exposed to the outside world, you probably want to be involved in some kind of social media. Then, you know, decide what is that you want to do with it. And then pick the tools you want to use and then just get on it.
I might surprise Victor here, and I'll say that figure out whether social media is really for you. I would say for some people, it just might not be your cup of tea. You'll be missing out on stuff, but if it's not for you, it's not for you. Now, if you decide you do want to use it, there's definitely a lot of resources out there where you can find stuff. If you go to Google and type, you know, social media and accessibility, you'll find a lot of resources on that stuff. But really figure out if you want to be that public, if you want to be that reachable, and what you want to use it for.
Jennison's point, I would still like to see people trying, because it's easy to say this is not for me, because some people may not actually realize the power of what they can get out of it before they actually try it. So maybe before you make a decision, at least ask around people or ask someone who knows.
And Victor and Jennison are more than willing to help out if people do need some pointers and direction on how to get started.
Talk to people. Reach out to Victor and I on Twitter, to send us a note, and we can talk to you and we can help you figure out if that's something you want to pursue.
Okay, guys, that begs the question. How do they contact you on Twitter? Your Twitter names.
So my Twitter name is @Jennison, which is JennIS as in Sam, O-N.
Mine is @VICK08.
And as we've mentioned many times before, let Google be your friend. If you're interested in getting involved in Facebook, you can not only go to the Facebook page and read about some of their directions, but read some other blogs, read some other websites where people are giving hints on how to use Facebook effectively or how to use Twitter effectively. Figure out which one of these tools might be most appropriate for you if you do want to get involved. Also realize that some of these tools get pretty sophisticated in how they can be used and the options and the filters, et cetera, et cetera. And it can seem quite daunting or overwhelming at first. But start slowly. You don't have to learn the entire thing at once. You can pick up new features as you go along and you get more comfortable with the particular tool you're using. Just be adventuresome.
If you missed any of the links we've given, they'll all be in the show notes, which you can find at our website, www.viewpointsplus.net.
And our Facebook page?
Viewpoints Plus.
And our Twitter feed?
@Viewpoints Plus.
And our Google groups, if you want to subscribe to a DL and talk with other listeners. Well, you can either look on Google groups for the Viewpoints Plus group, or you can send an email to Viewpoints Plus, followed by the plus sign, and then subscribe @googlegroups.com, and you'll automatically be subscribed to the Viewpoints DL.
That's it for show number 1240. Next week on Viewpoints, we'll be talking about how you can use social media. So now that you know why you might want to do this, learn how you can do it. And we'll be talking with Jonathan Mosen about how to work effectively with Facebook, Twitter, Foursquare, Audioboo, and Heytel, and which one to use for what purpose. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to contact@viewpointsplus.net or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Viewpoints, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpy and Peter Torpy in partnership with WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.viewpointsplus.net. You can also follow us on Facebook or Twitter at Viewpoints Plus. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Viewpoints, and have a nice day.